to the blockchain.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, the second half of Monday's Financial Power Block right here on WWPR. Of course, you start off at 4.05 p.m. with Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, and you look at all markets possible, I think. I think it's all, other than the tulip market, it pretty much is every market. Forex, commodities, stocks, options, bonds, currency. Oh, yeah, that crypto stuff, too. And then we follow up right here on the Henry Rain Show with your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news. And I would tell you exactly what is on our mind right now about this week, but our mouse died, and the poor little thing.
Oh, I can't pull. Oh yeah,
it was dying
it
before your show, but it came back for you. But that's okay, because after 15 years in this studio, that's what happens to mice. At 15 years is a long lifetime for a mouse. And we can't blame the thing for just expiring. But it is going to make it a little difficult to play the edited music. But that's okay, because still, we do know this week, Bitcoin demand rised on U.S.-Iran tensions. And no, no matter what you read, Bitcoin is not really trading for $24,000 in Iran. And Bitcoin...
Wait a minute. Someone said it was trading for $20,000?
They looked on local Bitcoins. And, well, I don't want to get too far ahead, but yeah, right. they saw that it was 24,000, and some people believe anything they read. Yeah. Bitcoin has come to Burger King in Venezuela, which is really, I should have brought
that up. The Impossible Burger, now Bitcoin, wow.
Yeah, the Impossible Bitcoin Burger. And, I just noticed my mic is...
I hear you good.
No, I know, but your sound wave is bigger than my sound wave.
You know what that means. I got a better mic.
You got a better sound wave. Yeah. You got a bigger sound wave. But size is not everything. People that...
Said nobody.
People that it makes them feel good saying it. Speaking of size isn't everything, I don't know why I say that for this headline. John McAfee shrinks.
Oh my
from
God.
His famous bet commitment. Some of you may remember what that is. And we're here in the studio.
A lot of people got,
Let's see if I can wake this mouse back up.
What if you have a USB? Here, you got a USB?
Yeah, it's in the USB. I went over there and...
Here.
Oh. All right. We're doing emergency resuscitation. You expect both USB ports to work? We're lucky we're getting one. The Packer Bell here. Oh, look, something's happening down there.
Oh,
I got
a little
circle spinning around.
Pounding the mice.
Yeah. Anyway, but if you didn't know, the other voice you hear is, of course, the Andrew in Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. It's the Andy of the Henry Rain Show. It is Goldbug 1 of TradingView. Although, you sort of let that identity...
I've been really busy. Holidays and everything, and then just been busy. But I will be back up on TradingView. Probably get something out this week. I try to get once a week, but it's just been... just been very busy. Of course, with the holidays, you got the family in there and everything else. You know how that is, Henry.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know my family.
You know what
my
else I know?
It's
a good thing we recorded your show.
Why is that?
Well, because your show is recorded now.
Oh.
And
is yours not working?
Well, I'm going to have to stop the software and somehow hit the record button.
Oh.
Or,
The mouse isn't working, huh?
Yeah. Maybe you could, stick it in on one of those USBs in the back, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
And we'll see what happens here. You're live on the air.
Henry Augie, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Augie. Well, I appreciate that. I saw you on Facebook. Anyway, how are you this week?
Well, my voice is getting stronger and a little more upfront.
And you sound healthier and more alive than our mouse here in the studio. So
I hear you're having a problem with that.
Yeah. So anyway, let's dive into this.
Is this all the residue of the departure of our friend Ed?
Maybe we have to pull the other. You know that? You know, this Packard Bell started with, it was very advanced for its day. It has like about four or five USBs. and there is a flash drive that I have, not the same flash drive over the last 15 years that I've been putting in the Packard Bell to record the show. And there's two USB drives on the front. And about 3 years ago, I gave up on the one on the left side. So, and the right side is a little iffy. So they may have to move up onto like a Packard Bell 4000 or something like that.
Commodore 64 or something.
No, we got rid of the Commodore 64 to get the Packard Bell. Thank goodness for eBay, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the disappointment of the non-$24,000 Bitcoin is raining on everyone's parade?
Well, we're going to go into this right now. I have backups here. I'm just wondering what's going to happen when it comes time to... I can't play the commercial either. The dawn of so much in my brain. Bitcoin is drawing bids and heightened geopolitical uncertainty could soon rise above key resistance. 7580, actually, the start of the show was like 7595. And now my... Is it working now? Oh, you... Look at, I see flashing on my screen.
There we go.
Look at that. How did they ever invent this stuff? Anyway. Well, now I don't even have to look at my...
You hit record now.
Well, we're recording. That's why I was saying your sound wave is bigger than mine. Boy, anybody that listens to this online must wonder what a work of... technology.
The prep that goes into the getting the show out.
Yeah. All right, so... Well, let's give it the full WWPR studio. I know if you're listening online at the thousands of downloads that we get, you probably don't even know what that is. But let's do the proper intros here. And that would be for Andy. And this would be for Augie.
So you say that old and true.
Sound the same. We sort of roll into each other there. But, really, we're way past that. It's time for this.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
And audience, if that isn't enough of the wonders of radio for you, this is the special express edition of the Henry Rain Show, because for the next several weeks, we'll be bailing out of here a little bit past the bottom of the hour, because I have a class I have to get to on Monday nights. But that will pass, and we will continue and expand back. Are you going to start filling in the... Not tonight.
But maybe we will. We might do that.
I'll just leave everything up. And Andy will be able to say what's been on his mind for the last 2 years.
I'm going political.
Yes. And and Augie will be having palpitations wherever he hears it. Bitcoin is drawing bids and heightened geopolitical uncertainty could soon rise above key resistance of 7580, as I told you it already is. We fixed that in the last show. The top cryptocurrency is currently, that was hours ago. Prices are now up nearly 10% from the lows near 68.50, registered during the Asian trading hours on Friday, right before the hammer came down. Notably, the cryptocurrency picked up bids at, I'm not going to have to read this. Tensions escalated over the weekend with Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei promising revenge. So if you've been under a rock, and some people probably wish they had been under a rock.
Iraq or Iraq?
Under a rock in Iraq would be a good place to be when the sky falls.
Yeah.
But through all this, Bitcoin had been moving more or less sideways and then had faded, really, over the weekend. Or right before the weekend, I should say, on Thursday last week. And it's like, oh, man. You know, because I've been a naysayer. I've been a contrarian. I'm about the getting back into Bitcoin. And then it happened.
Yeah.
The targeted assassination of Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds, or the Revolutionary Guards, if you will, who was in Iraq, was hit on the runway, I think.
Yeah.
In a convoy.
He tried to Iran.
Iran.
Wow, some feedback there.
Yeah.
He tried to Iran, but he was caught.
He tried to
on a runway in Iraq.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, I don't think he saw it coming either. Although the militia actually, there's an umbrella group of militias, and there's a spokesman for the militia groups that originally, when I saw the news first breaking, I was actually watching, of all things, Young Sheldon on CBS. And we're not going to go in a deep political hole here, but now that we've already gotten in the mouse hole, we might as well expand a little bit. So, and I'm watching Young Sheldon, which is set like about 20 years ago. On TV, and the sitcom, and they go, breaking news. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking it's part of the show. Because nobody breaks into CBS or NBC or ABC anymore, because you get the 24-hour cable news service, and if anybody sneezes that's important, they let you know over there. So I'm looking at it, and I'm wondering, like, wow, that's an interesting plot twist. And then I see it underneath, and I'm like, oh. Well, this is going to make for interesting trading tomorrow morning, which would have been Friday morning. And then I started going around the cable networks and seeing who was on it and who wasn't. And, of course, actually Fox News was the first one to break into their normal coverage and started talking about it from their point of view. And then I kept looking around, and a little while later, CNN got into it. And then MSNBC, I'm hitting them to see what they're going to say about it. And they wouldn't break into the Rachel Maddow show because she had an exclusive interview with Julian Castro, the presidential candidate that had no support that dropped out. So anyway, all right, I know you have something you want to say, but we're not going to go there. I'm just commentating on the what passes for news coverage. So anyway, I went and... now people go, oh, no, what's he going to say? I went to Al Jazeera Online, which actually was doing some really good coverage because you got to see the demonstrations of the Sunnis in Iraq that were celebrating his death because, he was Iranian and Shiite, and so he was in opposition. And there have been a lot of demonstrations recently in Iraq by the Sunni factions and some other factions, too, even some Shiites that resent Iran's dominance of the government there. And then they showed the celebrations celebrations and my protests confused. They all look alike when there's thousands on my screen. Yeah. Anyway, I can't tell if they're shouting yay or nay or whatever. But anyway, so then there was the protests about the assassination. And I was like, well, that's what happens when you actually have crews and TV cameras on location as opposed to somebody that stands in front of their cell phone and talks to the people on the other side of the world and acts like they're experts. So, anyway, much, much unlike us here in the studio with our expert commentary.
I'm not an expert.
Anyway, where was I? What happened to Bitcoin? Well, all right, take a deep breath, Henry. All right, so... One of the things that if you've been listening, especially on Talking Marks, but on here too, that I have said there isn't anything that I see that would make me want to get back into Bitcoin. I've been in cash for about since sometime early November, and I didn't see anything. And so I said, where are the buyers going to come from? What's going to cause people to buy it? There isn't, you know, the trade deal has softened. I mean, the trade situation has softened. So the people that were buying Bitcoin as a hedge against trade, that you've got everything sunny and bright in trade. There's no, you know, all the people in Venezuela and Hong Kong and Brazil have bought into this stuff, and, you know, there's only so many of them that can buy it. Well, then I saw the price start to move, and I said, you know, this is a use case. This is a reason why people will come back into Bitcoin, not just the Iranians, but just people in general, especially in the Middle East, in the less developed world, because they're the ones that suffer the most when things like oil go out of reach and the developed world takes their moves and accordingly. So we'll go on with this a little bit more, but I know Augie probably has something he'd like to say. Augie?
Well, I wonder what the effect of the Bitcoin situation would be.
We're not hearing you at all. You got to talk up.
I'm practically yelling. I said that I wonder the effect of the Iranian situation and what is occurring there will do to Bitcoin because of the nature of the relationship to gold itself.
What's going to happen with Bitcoin in Iran in particular is what you're asking?
Well, since it's the new gold, supposedly, then is that relationship clarified enough to say it is the new gold or not?
Okay, well, I'll let in the answer, but the quick answer, it has moved right along with gold and oil. Not as significantly as gold.
Yeah, but more like silver. More like silver. Silver's lagged.
Okay.
So I don't think it's going to replace gold anytime soon, but I can see as a use value for a store value, and a hedge against obviously inflation, like they do for gold, as it becomes more and more adopted. I still think we need to get an ETF out there that's, when that hits and you get retail investors are able to, everybody in America is able to buy it in an ETF where they feel safe. I think that's where the big exposure is going to come.
Might recall what an ETF is, Andy.
Well, we're not going to have time because you got to remember we're getting out of here in about 15 minutes. We've spent many a time about an ETF. We'll talk about that again sometime. Anyway, Michael Novogratz of the company, what is his capital company? Anyway, he's the one that's always touting Bitcoin as digital gold. He was there like, I told you so, I told you so. But moving on to other experts, there was someone that...
Someone?
I'm looking for his name. It was the head of... One crypto commentator highlighted the occurrence of the event, Bitcoin price chain. In a Forbes article, the chief executive of Sino Global Capital, Matthew Graham, was cited saying... Do we think Bitcoin is moving in reaction to geopolitical risk? ? Fascinating. That's the CEO of Sino Global Capital.
Of Google Capital?
Sino Global, so China Global Capital. Matthew Graham. And it's fascinating to him that he was doing his Mr. Spock from Star Trek. Fascinating, Captain. Bitcoin is moving. What else would it be moving for? Well, some people had ideas. However, when we look outside of the airstrike, we can see other factors. Who am I quoting here? Because people need CryptoDaily.co.uk is who this is from. Anyway, however, when we look outside of the airstrike, we can see other factors that are more likely to have caused the climb. But I'm afraid they aren't as interesting. I should have done that with a British accent. The reason seems to be that the leading cryptocurrency bounced off key support at 7,000 and took on a life of its own from there. One crypto analyst predicted the bounce a few days before it happened.
Wow.
Quote, it's likely that traders anticipate a bounce at 6,800, and many will watch to see if the 7,100 support flips to a point of resistance. On the six-hour chart, the relative strength, the RSI, Andy, has dropped into the oversold territory at 30, and the stochastic RSI has already begun to come across above zero. So it seems to be oversold. Bounce is already in the making.
Too many RSIs.
So let me just see. I will break this down to my opinion, which has no technical training in chart analysis. But it bounced at 6,800. But if they hadn't had this event, couldn't it have just as easily broken the support and go down? I mean, this is like the tail wagging the dog.
Well, you bring a good point there, because it was in this. It's in this. Still, it's still in the broad consolidation. It hasn't broken out of the consolidation yet, at least since November. And until it breaks one of the ranges, either the high or the low, and it's pushing the high right now, but it still needs to take out that 7850 level. You know, you don't know which way it's going to go. I mean, honestly, what gives it a little bit more favorability for a bullish swing is its position. It's ranging in a very low position, and it's failing to make new lows after several weeks or over a month.
And going back, and if you listen to Talking Markets, you'll hear Mark, in particular, say this quite often. He looks at the chart. He doesn't look at the fundamental story, because lots of times there's stuff going on that you and I don't know about.
That's right.
But the big money knows about. That's also a CNBC commercial. The big money knows.
Yeah, well, you've seen oil went up before the strike came out. Gold rallied before the strike. All these were rallying before the strike. Because I noticed in Dave's chat room that he had oil. I was like, long oil. I would be long oil here. But if you saw the charts, they were starting to make moves higher, and then when it came out.
Quick aside there, and hold that thought, because we're going to come right back to that. As far as people know before other people know, as I'm scanning, I'm going through, with all the news sources that I used to go through when I was doing the news talk in the morning. So I go to the Jerusalem Post on this, because I'm looking at our cable news, which were useless, and I'm looking at some of our bigger media, like the Times and the Post and Los Angeles Times, etc. And it's still, they're still just putting out pretty much what I see everywhere.
Yeah.
The Jerusalem Post, at least an hour before the Pentagon announcement, maybe 2 hours, says the Jerusalem Post has confirmed from military officials that the U.S. conducted this strike. Now, remember I said about the Katyusha rockets that they originally, the held militias had said, which, if you were really being strategic about this, you might think they were giving an opening for us to just stay quiet, because Katyusha rockets are not the way we strike. We have guided missiles, drones that can do this. Katyusha rockets, you point them and you hope it hits. So they said that. So that's all I had from anybody in the Middle East was Katyusha rockets. And then the Jerusalem Post comes out and says the U.S. has confirmed, U.S. officials, military officials have confirmed this to us, our sources. Okay. Well, let's see what happens.
So they knew before Nancy Pelosi did.
Well, they knew before U.S. media knew. And by 2 hours. And then the Defense Department comes out and takes credit for it. So, you know, we could argue, would the smarter thing to be would be to just let that go and just stay quiet? Yeah, I think my daughter's trying to call me from England.
She's listening live.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's just do this on the phone. Let's do everything crazy on this show today and see if I can get. Hi, honey. I'm on the radio. All right. Say hi to Andy.
Hello.
Say hi to the audience. Don't worry, they can't see you through the microphone. I'll call you in a little while.
Okay, bye.
All right, love you.
Oh, I could hear her.
Okay.
So what's going on in the Middle East?
Yes. Anyway, think strategically now. Wouldn't it be smarter to just, we knew who did it. They knew who did it. They knew it wasn't a Katyusha rocket that hit. Wouldn't it be better just to keep it quiet? And they, because the point is deterrence, they know they got slapped. But once you say, oh, yes, I've done this, much less tweet it, you know, now you put the whole spin in play. I mean, if your goal was really to get them to pull back, the best way was to let them say, oh, some other militia group hit them with some Katyusha.
We deny all involvement in this.
Yeah, plausible deniability. But no, we didn't do it that way. Anyway, so the last thing I wanted to say about
that
idea. As far as this particular aspect of it. So anyway, if you listen to Talking Markets, and go to seekingcryptos.com to find the podcast, and you can find old Henry Rain shows there here too, is you say, well, we don't know what the big money knows. But sometimes there are events that happen, and everybody finds out about them almost at the same time. Now, yeah, you saw some things that moved beforehand, but the vast majority of Bitcoin people weren't plugged in to the targeted assassination, and they're reacting after it. So sometimes the chart tells you something is happening. Sometimes something happens, and then the chart tells you that it happened.
Well, actually, on Friday, Bitcoin had a nice swing higher.
When?
Right there.
Well, I can't see it on. So it was. I saw it at around. What time is that? What time is it at 6,800?
That was Friday.
Well, is that a daily chart?
A daily chart.
Well, you got to look at the hourly chart.
I don't look at the hourly.
And that's probably UTC time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, the daily show was fire stepping in. I don't know. I don't know if the Bitcoin move.
Because it was already Friday in UTC time. It was like 8 o'clock our time. Actually, it was earlier than 8 o'clock our time.
Well, this would have been 7 p.m.
Well, fun with clocks. Anyway.
Well, no, that would have been 7 p.m. Thursday. That starts 7 p.m. Thursday and closes 7 p.m. Friday.
That's about when it was announced on news.
That's what I'm saying. So 7 p.m. Thursday to 7 p.m. Friday.
All right.
And Saturday's
but really,
candle starts at Friday.
Paying $24,000 for a Bitcoin. That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
Actually, we got like 2 minutes here. Anyway, no.
So was it?
Well, I'll just use this as another chance to bash crypto media. So anyway, no, that's what Local Bitcoins was showing because that was the official exchange rate for a Bitcoin in the inflationary whatever the currency of Iran is. It would have worked out to 24,000. But then they talked to some people actually in Iran and said, no, if you know how to get it, you still get it at the price that the rest of the world's getting it at. But if you naturally Local Bitcoins isn't going to wave a flag to the Iranian government and really have them clamp down on it. But a different cryptocurrency news site said, well, we've just disproved everything about the assassination, and it's really this thing we were talking about, like in the other article, only a totally different thing. But we saw this, and we knew it was going to happen, because you can see in Local Bitcoin's chart here, there's no volume going on in Iran. Well, Iran had cut off the internet for the website, so you're not going to find anything. But let's talk about something really important. I'll hit the headline. I won't even hang on. China's central bank reports that it is progressively with the development of the government-backed digital currency, so that's in the horizon. Bitcoin's hash rate reached record highs. We talked about the record high a couple weeks. It's even higher now, so the network is robust and strong. And then Bitcoin has come to Burger King in Venezuela as a new partnership opens up cryptocurrency payments at the fast food chain. Confirmed in a tweet on December 30th, where all good news comes from. Single Burger King branch in the Sambal area of Caracas now accepts Bitcoin, along with altcoins Ether, Litecoin, Binance Coin, Dash, as well as stablecoin Tether. Total of 40 locations will follow suit in 2020, according to a blog post from Dash executives. Crypto Buyer is a Panama-based cryptocurrency merchant gateway startup that also runs a fleet of Bitcoin ATMs. And evidently they're partnering with them within a commercial alliance with Burger King Venezuela. Bike Federal needs to go global like these guys. Anyway, maybe they can get the Wendy's franchise in Venezuela. But the really important news, remember when John McAfee said if Bitcoin didn't hit $1 million, he would eat his male genital parts on television. Well, surprise, surprise. Don't be sitting by your computer screen, because whether or not he would indeed eat his male genital parts is not going to happen. The controversial entrepreneur and former Bitcoin bull is walking back on that promise. The cryptoverse has been waiting to see if the most outrageous and most risky promises given crypto market volatility would be honored. And according to Mr. McAfee, it was a masterfully crafted ruse for onboarding users of Bitcoin. And
in other words, he screwed all his followers.
Eat my blank in 12 months. This is from his Twitter timeline, which, like I said, is wherever all news it generates now. Question mark? A ruse to onboard new users. It worked. Bitcoin was first. It's an ancient technology. All know it. Newer blockchains have privacy, smart contracts, distributed apps, and more. Bitcoin is our future? Question mark. Was the Model T the future of the automobile? Question mark. So, imagine that. John McAfee was lying to us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Augie, I've got to get out of here for my class. Thank you for calling.
Happy birthday, man. Have a great one.
7,700 getting pushed right now.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Augie.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening and enjoying our technical struggles here. We'll be back next week with another Henry Raine show and more broadcast excellence. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bike Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bike Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bike Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bike Federal ATM near you. Go to BikeFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BikeFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Raine Show.